Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. And this program is about the evolution of consciousness and how there's so many people awakening, realizing, embodying the true sense of ourself and why we really came here in this form at this time, and how we're part of a planetary movement to awaken civilization to their true potential. And that is why I'm so happy to have with me tonight Sonia Barrett. And I think she covers everything. She also has a new movie out called The Business of Disease. Is that the movie, Sonia?
Yes, it is. Yes.
So, I mean, we can go deeper into your work, but I also want to talk about this movie because I think it's a very important movie to wake people up to the institutionalities of relating to their own body. It doesn't make sense at all. I mean, part of what you cover in the film?
Well, yeah, that's a big part of it. Well, look, the whole objective of the film is to get people to begin to take responsibility for themselves, and we're talking spirit, mind, and body, and to really understand more about the body and its connection with the mind, and just areas that Western medicine doesn't really get into, and all the areas that we typically are not taught to investigate, because much of our approach is topical. Right. So the film really kind of gets into addressing those ideas and concepts.
Well, no, I think it's so important. Of course, so many people make money off a disease. I mean, there's more people making money off of illness than dying from illness. And, you know, what I think is that people have been disconnected from being responsible for their own health. You know, I just as an example, someone was saying to me, well, my doctor won't let me eat that food. I said, your doctor won't. That concept,
yeah.
That was like such a frustrating, your doctor won't let, what about you? Do you want to eat that junk? I mean, it's like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's so frustrating to hear people talk that way.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, that's the programming, though. The programming has been for a very long time that you are not capable of being responsible for yourself. You're not capable of thinking for yourself. You are not capable of knowing what is best for you. So that is the programming that, you know, runs throughout just our entire structure, it seems, our makeup of reality. And that's why government works so well, or even when we work, you know, we go to our jobs, there is always somebody that we fear more. There's somebody to look up to. And I always say we are assigned, but one of the things we are taught is you've got to be assigned a doctor, a religion. What are some of the things people ask? You know, who's your doctor? Who's your healthcare provider? What church do you go to? Are you a Christian or whatever the case may be? But we have these things that, you know, we are assigned. You have to have one of these. You have to belong to. And so I think that, you know, that is all part of it. So it's natural for people. Doctors know more than you. That is what we're, everybody
taught that. Yeah, doctor knows more about your body. My cousin that was diagnosed with something, I said, well, how do you feel? He said, well, I feel great. I said, well, go with it. He says, but my doctor says, we don't. I mean, but how do you feel? I said. He said he never felt better in his life. I said, well, that's good enough for me, you know?
Yeah, but that doesn't, they would definitely toss you and I both out because telling people that, you know, because you're supposed to feel sick. And in my film, Dr. Jacob Lieberman is in the film, and he does say that. He does say that it's the diagnosis that really takes people out more than anything else, because once they hear. And we have to have something to identify with. So and all diseases are named. So immediately people zone in on an identification and all of the definitions and conclusions associated with the illness. And so it's automatic then that you start, you know, either developing the symptoms. If you hadn't before, you're looking for it because this is the identity that, this is the description that's given to this illness.
It's called, I think Andrew Weil calls it medical hexing, you know? Have you heard that term?
Yeah. It's pretty wild, but it goes across the board. All the way across the board, and we have T-shirts that are made too, actually, and it does say the cure is in the body, not in the business. It's on the back of my car as well. I have a big, you know, the business of disease thing on the back of my SUV. But yeah, the cure is in the body, not in the business. And it's funny, I'm driving down the freeway and on the street, and sometimes I forget. Most of the time, I forget that it's there on the back of my you know, rear view there, and I get people driving by with the thumbs up, I'm like, what are you talking about? Then they point to the back. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. The cure is in the body, not in the business.
No, I know Jacob Lieberman for a long time. He's a great guy. His book, Take Off Your Glasses and See, was talking about the way glasses stop the body's natural eye improvement, you know, which is possible. But how do you get to turn it around? How do you tell people to take back the responsibility and maybe not run to doctors every minute if there's something? You know, what do you say to people?
Well, you know, it's sort of a simple question, but at the same time, a tough question because this takes not only does it take an education, people educating themselves, but it also requires an individual to be interested, in really going against the grain, going against the standard programs, and they have to want to understand more about this design of this incredible technology we call a body, and how it's all connected or wired. They have to want to. And so,
but who wouldn't want? But Kenny, just sorry to interrupt. But who wouldn't want? I mean, for me, it's like who wouldn't want to know more?
Yeah, for you, because you have had a different understanding. You have been curious. You have been interested in preserving this vehicle. In from that standpoint, you have been interested in independent thinking. You know, you've been interested in not being controlled or being under the thumb of anyone else. And so you have to realize where you're coming from in comparison to the people who have really bought into the program, the standard package, I like to call it, when you get your computer and you get the basic operating system, programs that come with that. So it is with human beings, you know, there's this basic operating system, and you can upgrade as well as, you know, you can just keep running that system until it doesn't work anymore because the new programs, new things that are out there, the computer won't run on, you know, it can't run because it can't handle it. So people operate basically that way. They, you know, they just go through the standard. You know, you work, you go to school, you know, you get a good job, or you raise your family or whatever all that the package is, and you get a good job, and then you make sure you plan for retirement. You just know when you get to a certain age, you get medication, which the film talks about. That's normal. That's standard. You get to a certain age, you're going to start needing, you know, medication. And so that's normal thinking. And at the same time, you make sure that you know, if you're a religious person, you go to church. Make sure that your soul is being secured for whatever comes next. So that standard kind of basic package that's the program that's run.
It's totally against what is possible and what me and you know is true, that, you know, your body doesn't have to break down. It can actually maintain and thrive in its longevity, you know?
Yes, true, but, you know, one has to really come into, again, one has to be interested And, you know, conversations like this, for those people, maybe there's somebody listening that really doesn't quite think that way, but at least the conversation is there, the information is there that will maybe trigger some thought. You know, somebody can, it will trigger somebody to really examine how they think, you know, the whole thought process. And maybe they might be pushed just a little bit to examine some other options. And I think what I find interesting too, Alan, is the fact that it makes so much sense to me that everything is driven by nature, in one form or the other. We can look at, you know, electricity, and we look at air, and then we can go right to the trees and, you know, all the greenery and everything that comes from the land. And then we can look at, you know, the fact that we need all of this. You know, this is all important to keep this body going. But right. Then at the same time, a lot of people who are really stuck in the medical model here, they don't really put that all together and go, well, maybe there might be some methods that are a bit more natural. Why wouldn't it work for my body? I am part of nature. You know, nature is a necessity. So perhaps my body would work best, you know, utilizing natural resources as opposed to something that is, you know, a chemical, something that my body is going to recognize as a foreign substance. And they don't realize that their body is a chemical factory and makes its own chemicals, which is, you know, your hormones and so on. The body makes all of that. So we put something else in there that it doesn't make, and it doesn't, it just doesn't mesh. And then we get a reaction. Even though you might feel a little bit better, the headache might be gone, but, you know, what else is going on in there? What else does it throw off?
Well, the body, I mean, people don't realize that disease is actually a process of maintaining health or maintaining life in the body. The right. disease is actually the reaction to those substances. It's the symptom. What they call as disease is really the symptomology of whatever's affecting the body, and it's the symptom
it's
of how the body...
signaling you.
What's that?
It's the body signaling you that there's a problem.
Right. So, and yeah. People then treat the symptoms and the signal, but not the cause. And that's another problem with the whole Western medicine paradigm.
Right. It's an imbalance. It's out of balance. It's out of, you know, harmony. And that's what it's looking for. But since we're not taught that, it throws people off. They don't look at it as the fact that, oh, well, this just means my body's out of balance, and it's trying to find balance. How can I support my body finding balance? Because my body really is designed to be able to fix itself under the right conditions. And that's where they end up making sort of a mockery out of maybe what the holistic medicine. Because when you say that, well, the body can fix itself. Oh, well, the body can't fix itself. Well, yes, it can under the right conditions. It has to have, you know, certain components need to be in place. How you eat, how you live, how you're thinking, all of that is the body requires.
Well, part of the problem, I think, was what you're saying is that we're taught the body is a machine, and the body is not a machine. The machines wear down. And body, physical, living organisms don't have to. They can. There's a revitalization of living systems.
Right. And it is, what do you call it? What's the word I'm trying to use? It's a biological vessel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is, you know, if we get into a whole other level of this, which probably won't do that, but...
No,
it is a highly advanced cosmic technology. And the reason why I use that word technology a lot, but they think because we get so confused because what we see as technology with, you know, computers and so on. That's on a, such a minuscule level. But we're talking about, you know, energy systems. And it's pattern, you know, energy is shaped and formed into this vehicle, into this vessel, into a great many things. That is a technology that is an extremely, you know, beyond our real comprehension. But anyway, so it is designed to regulate itself. And the reason, another reason too, Alan, why I bring that up is because we tend to identify ourselves as our bodies in the sense of that we, it's the totality of who we are. We get very lost in it and not realizing that, yes, the body is us, it is part of us, but at the same time, we are an even more expansive essence that is using the body as a vehicle to navigate through this experience on the planet. It's designed to operate within the gaseous laws of this environment. So that's what I like to try to make that distinction. People get lost with, they think they're their bodies, and when you do that, when you think that completely all of who you are is your body, then it makes us very, you're never disconnected, but I'm going to use that word. It makes us very distracted then, maybe I'll use that word, from right. The expansiveness of who we are.
Right.
You know, but that's, to understand that, those to go into that level of understanding is really a great part of the science that will keep the body alive and keep it for as long as the owner of that vehicle, as the owner expands in consciousness, you know,
right.
The owner of that vehicle will definitely have that body to exist.
Right, because you're vibrating at the frequency of the soul, and that's the reason for the incarnation. And when you realize that the alignment is with that higher part of yourself, I think there's a quickening within the cellular structures that sort of match the light frequencies that are using a body to express here on the earth plane in the physical dimension. So I think, yeah, when we realize the greater spiritual paradigm, we can see that the body is an important part of manifesting spirit and to evolving our nature of our soul, if you want to put it that way.
Right. It's allowing us to move through this human journey, this human game, as I like to call it, and really evolve or expand beyond the game. And so most of the teaching and the understanding that people have is simply that, you know, we come here, you come here and you live and you die. And while you're here, maybe you acquire some knowledge of aware of consciousness or spirituality, as we call it, and then, you know, we die. But what if this incredible game experience is about mastering and transcending, you know, this illusion of limitation then in the human experience? What if that's what it's about, and not simply about, for those people, yes, who do understand or believe in immortality, which I honestly don't even really use that word per se anymore, because I just see it as I am living. I am in the eternal now then.
Right.
There's a timelessness about existing. So you're in that eternal now. So it's not just about, okay, well, I just want to live for a long time. And that sometimes when you speak of immortality, sometimes people think, well, why would you want to be here all that time? Well, you know, human beings, we don't acquire, by the time people leave here, they don't really acquire enough knowledge or information. 80 years is like not even, you know, it's not even a speck in time. It's just, it's nothing. So it is not a matter of counting down and how long you're going to be here. How about if we're just living? How about if we're just living and we're just living and expanding and learning and evolving? You know, right. How about if that's what we're doing and expanding further, deeper and deeper into ourselves, into the vastness of all that's possible?
But that's what you're saying. How could people like think that? I mean, well, on one side, like the old paradigm says, well, you know, it goes along with the whole way that we've been taught to think. It's like goes back to what you're saying. You work all week and then you take a weekend, and you work all year. You take a vacation. You work your whole life. You take a retirement. Then you live for whatever amount of time, and then you have this hair after or not. And so there's this way of framing things in the old paradigm, and what you're saying is, let's forget about all that. I mean, I think that's what, and then let's just be here right now. Forget the weekends and the vacations and the, just be here. I mean.
Well, just be here. When I say be here, be here without the this endless calculation based on this program of what reality is that's been given to us. And to give people an example of what I'm saying, and everybody can definitely attest to this, when you watch the TV and you watch a commercial, the commercials will tell you, you know, if you're between the ages of 50 and 80, there's a lot of suggestion in terms of how long people should live. And I don't think most people recognize that. There is a lot of this kind of suggestion in terms of what is acceptable. People don't notice that because it's all, they've seen it for such a long time. It's just all automatic. It's just all part of it. But how about if we realize that a lot of this is projected information? It is suggestions. These are programs. And we take these programs in and we accept them that, you know, living past 85 or living to 100, you know, is a big deal. Well, what if that's just programmed concepts? You know,
it
what
is.
If that's
of
all
course.
It is? Exactly. But I'm just saying that to the individual. To just think, what if that's all that it is? And what has science learned? What do they realize? They realize that human beings, for as long as they can figure that humans have been on the planet, We are adaptable. We adapt. Much of what we are now has been based on adaptation to changes in environment, to this, to that. You know, we've added maybe the rib cage, as I've heard, where there wasn't, to protect the lungs before. We no longer really use the gill system, which is the tonsils, because, you know, supposedly we did more swimming on the water. We have to, and the brain, the newer part of the brain was added. Even the fact that we've grown longer legs, you know, because we wish that from, you know, running from lions and tigers and bears. So we have to understand that this is what we do. We adapt according to changes in the environment. Well, how is that adaptation taking place? Obviously, there's a message that is being delivered from something, an aspect of you that is more expansive than your body. And that information, that desire, obviously takes its journey, as I said, through the ventricles in the brain, through to the spinal fluid. The spinal fluid, I mean, of course, you know, thoughts are in the form of light frequency. So it's coming into the spinal fluid, and the spinal fluid bathes the cells, automatically bathes the cells. So that information is being sent from the brain always throughout the rest of the body. The whole being is getting that information. And, of course, the brain makes prepares the body for all the adjustments. Maybe it happens over, you know, several hundred years or 1,000 years. Eventually, that message and that desire eventually begins to create changes in the physical body. And that is science. That's not fluff. information. That is a fact. We adapt.
Right.
What were we, Alan, what were we before? This is what I like to say to people. Do you know that over time, we gradually, always, we forget what we were over time. So what we are now, I don't know, a million years ago, what were you then? Think about it. Look at when we were dealing with rotary phones, right? We were dealing with rotary phones not that long ago, and all the other technology like that, minuscule technology. Now, a child born now has no clue what the heck that was about. So that child and its offspring and everybody that follows comes after, that will be something that they will just hear about in history books, and their reality will be completely different. Well, so it is with us as human beings. We don't remember how expansive we once were.
Yes, but we are returning that way. We'll forget how limited we were at some point, too, So I think the evolution is forward. I think, don't you think the next generation is already aware of the limitations of the institutional systems that are out of date at this point? It seems like a lot of people are aware of this old world that is crumbling all around us. And we're waking up. But what was your awakening? Or did you come in? I'm just interested in your story a little bit. Like, how did you realize all this? Because you're an independent thinker. You had an awakening.
I was always like this. I was like this as a small child. I guess when I hear my relatives talk about it, before I could even talk very well. But I definitely was always. I came in just knowing that some things were not as they appeared. And my curiosities, even back then, even as a little girl, and realizing that people died, was always a very bizarre thing to me. It was always just so bizarre to me because I couldn't understand how come nobody else seemed to think that this is very odd. So for me, as a child, when being older, that is something that is typically accepted by most people. But I always thought it was very strange. And then now that I do what I do, it's funny when I mention that, how many people actually say to me, I actually kind of thought that too as a kid, but I never said anything to anybody.
It's true. I bet most people thought that. But then people say, well, that's how it is. And you think,
exactly.
Maybe it's not how it is. Is it possible that it's not how it is? Is it possible that something else could happen? No.
Yeah, is it possible? But it's considered a strange thought for anybody to question. Well, is it possible?
But if you look to the Taoist religions, and you look to the Tibetans, the Rainbow Body, even the Native Americans or the Egyptians, every ancient civilization had some legends of the immortals. And I've met some here. I think I have because I know it's possible because, I can fit into my high school gym shorts. I've always honored my body and tried to take the best care of it as I could. If I eat something and it doesn't make me feel good, I don't eat it again, even if it's like sweets or something. If it doesn't make me feel good, like alcohol, I don't drink alcohol because what? It doesn't make me feel good. I can't see how it makes other people feel good. Or smoking.
That's why I don't drink it. It just doesn't work for me.
Or even like smoking marijuana or anything like that. It's like, well, that's interesting for a moment, but I don't feel good afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, and that's just it, right? You're absolutely, you know, check, that's it.
We have to check in with our bodies and see, you know, this body is like your child. Would you give your child poison to eat? So that's that's how I think of it. So
and in the end, you know, yes, it still comes down to what a person's journey is and what their experience is going to be, because certainly everybody doesn't have to feel the same way and have the same experience, you know, in this now, in this now moment. Maybe some at some point in another now, they may change. There was a time when you look back, you know, you were maybe a bit different. I certainly do. I look back and there's a time when there's some things that I did differently, and I realize that I've gone through an evolution in some areas. So I think that people are really operating in a way that is necessary to their evolution in that moment. And it might not seem to make sense to us, but since everybody is really a free agent and everybody's here to you know, participate in this incredible game and human experience, and the idea is to what? To experience all the potential of what it is to be human. Not that each of us have to experience all the possibilities, but all the possibilities are certainly there, and someone, some being is going to interact with, you know, with possibilities that you and I would not dare venture into in this right. time.
But I think we're not here to, I mean, I think we are here to venture into all the possibilities, but not as experience, but as emotion, to have the full range of the human feeling. That's why I think we...
And that's what you get. Yeah, well, that's why you do whatever people are doing, they're getting that, though. Because you can't, everything, you end up processing some sort of emotion or feeling, you know, from it. So
That's why people get married and have children and do jobs and do this for the emotional
anything
feeling.
At all, though. There's an emotion. There's a feeling that you're getting from it.
Right. And that's why people do what they do, for the feeling. And that's why, so I think we're here to have every feeling that we could have. I mean, you know, you don't have to jump out of a plane to have that feeling. But it's more the emotional feelings, I think, we're really here to have.
Well, I don't, you know, the thing is this, here is the thing for me.
Yes.
What I realize is that I can't, for me to say that this, you know, maybe this is what we're here to have, but not the other, it's like I just think any and everything that is that has happened and is happening, it's allowed for a reason. It is allowed because it's possible. And see, and so here is the challenge. Because on one hand, we'll say all that exists are possibilities. We live in an ocean of potentials. Every blessed thing is possible. So if everything is possible, then anything that anybody is doing is really just part of that ocean of possibility. And they are doing that. You and I might not do that. Not because it's a good or bad thing. I don't like to look at it that way as a judgment, but that's not where I am in my awareness. There's no need for me maybe to participate in that particular thing. But that individual is absolutely experiencing a possibility. That's kind of how I look at it. You know, it's that same thing. God is everything, you know, for lack of a better word. But, yeah, people say God is everything, but then they go, well, except that thing.
Right.
You know, he's good, but it can't be bad. But then if God is everything, then that has to be inclusive of everything. If God is the fabric, then everything is cut out of that fabric.
Right. No, I totally agree. So what's your adventure? Where's your next? I mean, you did this movie, which is a great education for everyone to become aware of. I think and doing something like that opens people's minds to how they've played into the system and how they don't have to. But what's your next adventure for yourself? Where's your, like, you know, mind and spirit taking you?
I don't know. That's a good question. I always just say into forever, into whatever kind of happens, you know, next, whatever I'm feeling next, you know, is kind of what I end up, you know, doing. I don't really have anything specific per se, other than, you know, what I feel like creating. I would like to do, there's two other documentaries that I want to do that I really, I'm just waiting to deal with the distribution of this one mm-hmm. to begin on these other two documentaries. And so those things
two,
I want
what
to
are the other two documentaries about?
Well,
you don't have to share it if it's
I'm going to wait, but yeah, okay. They're really interesting though. They're definitely
We could talk about it sometime. But have you talked to Beyond Words? Do you know them? They're a film distribution, alternative cinema distribution.
I haven't. No, you should talk to Beyond Words.
They do a lot of great business, but, also, the way you're talking about consciousness and all that, did you ever study at the Ramtha School? Do you know Ramtha, the channel?
Yeah, I know of Ramtha. No, I have not gone to...
Because Ramtha says he's somebody who lived 35,000 years ago.
Yeah, and, I know. I'm familiar.
And he mm-hmm. brought it, and he ascended. He took his body into frequencies. Don't you feel that's possible to do?
Absolutely. Again... It's that fine line where people go, well, all things are possible, but then they go, but not that.
I think that
all things are possible, and I think that it absolutely is possible, and that's a whole other laying out of sciences behind, you know, why that is possible. But absolutely, and I think it's because of our understanding of time and space, why people see it as not possible. Time and space and gravity, those things throw us completely off. And because we don't understand how any of that sort of, you know, works with consciousness, when I say consciousness, but a shift in our vibration or shift in our frequency. You know, expansive, the more expansive the level of awareness, we are definitely shifting in terms of, you know, the vibration of our awareness and, of course, and of our bodies. Your body is going to go along with the expansiveness of who you are, that expansive vibration. So there is, I think, a whole lot that can, to me, give explanation why that is absolutely possible, because all you're doing is you're stepping into another reality, another possibility, another now.
But how do we step into
a multi-level highway?
But how do we? I mean, I've been to vortex sites and portal sites where the earth or the energy supports stepping into another frequency or dimensional space. How do you say, what's one way you get there to those dimensional spaces?
What's one way that I get, you're talking to, instead of doing, I mean...
How do you access those realms?
The way I operate, again, is always a little bit probably off. I operate more from the standpoint of, say, we would probably want to refer to it as maybe more meditative state, more shifting my awareness. But I also don't spend much focus on trying to shift into another space, because I know that I am shifting. I don't know if that makes sense.
I get what you're saying, because you're in a constant state of awakening.
I'm constantly there. I'm constantly in that expansion. I'm constantly, I'm always aware that there really is no time and space, and that ultimately there really is just now, with, you know, the illusion of increments of time. So... I get that, but I still am operating here. I'm still in this human body. I'm still at a level of consciousness that is still causing me to deal with gravity, but yet I understand the science behind it. So I am understanding, too, that part of what will help assist, is going to assist me in shifting, is releasing of these programs. It's the programs that hold us bound, and we all have these programs running. It's the programs that anchors us down. That's really what it is, the belief systems that anchor us down, the birth-to-death programs that are networked into all of us, along with all the other, you know, all the other social programs and so on. So to be able to even recognize that and to say, okay, I get it. The programs are, they're heavy. They are lower frequency.
Yes. So
they do weigh you down, and you're having to transcend them, not escape them. I don't say escape, but you're having to transcend them. It's like beating the game. You're having to expand beyond those belief systems that anchor us to, anchor us and make us feel trapped by gravity.
Right, right, right. So, so it's like you're, when you're with yourself and in sort of a meditative state, you feel the ongoing awakening of, maybe we'll call it revelation or beingness, right? I mean, that's how, is that how you're...
Yeah, I guess. You can call it that. And I don't even sit, and I don't even meditate like I used to like that anymore. I really don't. I haven't for a long time. I mean, I do sometimes, but I really don't sit like that. I've just completely gone off the radar with stuff, because what I realize is that life, I am really constantly in a meditative state. The only reason why I'm even experiencing reality as I think it is because I am basically sort of, you know, hallucinating this experience. I'm understanding the whole brain connection and how this is happening. So I'm seeing that and I'm understanding that. And so I do feel sort of, wired in, connected, you know, I guess all the time. I don't know how else I can explain that.
No, I get it. I get what you're saying.
So I'm not necessarily to you, but still making sure that whoever is listening, it makes sense to them.
They'll either get it or they don't get it. You know, what can you do? But in that state of constant awareness or that, do you feel there's something else happening? Is there like a bigger shift in the energetic field? What are you feeling about, you know, the world?
Again, anything? Other interesting questions. Let's see. How do I, yeah.
That are you feeling something new happening, or is it the same old, same
yeah,
old?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, well, I don't even feel the world like. I don't even feel the world like that. How do I feel the world?
What do you want to call it?
I almost don't. My analysis of experiencing the world is not, it's not like complete, like maybe focused like that, but I understand what you're saying. Is there a shift going on? Are there,
yeah.
Is there awakening going on?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yes, there is, but also what I realize too is that according to where each person is, according to where we are, we will probably see that anyway, yet you get somebody who has no clue and they're completely not even seeing any of that. So are we seeing this according to our own desire and wishes and where we are? That would be the other question. And then the next part of that is the world. I say to people when I do workshops, I say, you know, the only thing we do really know about the world is anything that we are immediately interacting with. The world that we see when we get up, the walls around us, when we leave the house, wherever we go, if we travel to someplace, that is what we see. The rest of it is the world is brought to us through images and videos and pictures. That's really what it is. The world is presented to us like that. Now, most people don't think of it that way, but the world has to be brought to you. It's brought to you on television. It's brought to you the rest of the, because you can't see the whole world at once. So the world is presented to us. So we have images and concepts that we have ideas of what the world is. And so for me, yes, I started to realize, I thought, well, wait a second. The only way I know that this place is like this is because this is what I read. Now, until I am there, every place is real to you, because real is what? Realm of focus. Wherever my focus is, you know, I'm there now. Now, that's crystallized for me. That's a reality I'm experiencing. So that's the reason why I say, yeah, for me it's kind of interesting with looking at, you know, what's really going on in the world. Is it shifting? I would say this, though, Alan. When we look at technology, when we look in our world today, what do we see? Yes, from in our own personal little space, we know that technology is what? Expanding, right? We see that. Yeah. There's a lot of technological stuff happening. So we can use that to really say to ourselves, the fact that human beings are able to really, you know, get into this kind of technology now must definitely would represent some sort of awareness that is going on, some sort of shift that is going on. Because this technology advancement that we didn't have 50 years or 100 years ago. So we see from that perspective, okay, there is something happening in that sense. And that to me would say, ah, well, there must be a window, an opportunity then, or time in this idea of reality for the consciousness that is ready to, you know, begin to become more expansive. Because that's why technology is happening the way it is, because the consciousness of those that are creating it from that level is expanding enough to be able to come up with these ideas. And so on.
Right. And then whatever is behind the consciousness at that level, which is like the great spirit, or you want to call it, that is also moving forward using the vehicles of us as fractals of the greater whole to evolve itself as well. You know,
right, because we are it.
Right. But right. So I see movement myself. I see there's a, because of the technology is one reflection, the spiritual awakening is another reflection, the global mind, the internet, these are other reflections of the great spirit.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Coming into a new way, mm-hmm, of expressing itself as through,
yeah,
us, as us. And so I think we're at a great point in history where the unknown is coming at us, and we are asked to shift as to embrace a greater possibility, and possibilities we have never even thought of before.
Well, absolutely. So there you are with the possibilities. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
It's so much untapped stuff.
Yeah. Do you ever get into the ET stuff? Do you ever get into that realm?
Not as much. I mean, at one point I did. From what perspective?
No, from the fact that not so much where they're here or not, but the fact that there are other beings that exist that don't think like us, and that we're capable of, that there's life throughout the universe, that this we're
oh,
not
yeah. well, from,
some
from that
freaks
standpoint.
Of nature.
What? Well, yeah, from that standpoint, absolutely. But at the same time, I also feel that there are human beings who have evolved and do live within the Earth plane, that they've gone through the kind of evolution you and I have been talking about, where they've transcended the whole programming of birth to death program.
Right.
We don't hear of them. We don't even entertain them. But they're also still, you know, they're also here. So I think we get a one-dimensional view, not you, I'm saying, but what's presented to us is a one-dimensional view of what's possible, which is the birth-to-death program. Yet there are other beings, there are other human beings who have gone into that transcendence that you and I are talking about, but are still operating, you know, around here on planet Earth. So, there's life, there's all kinds of potentials everywhere in terms of what we call ETs or, you know, we call them the aliens. They're just other possibilities of life being expressed, you know.
Right, and I feel they are, and just to be open to those possibilities actually expands our brain to consider other realities and expands us somehow in a deeper knowing. It takes us out of this idea that you talk about in the film, that, you know, this is the business of disease, that it's like this is the only way it is. When I talk about these other possibilities, I say, no, this isn't the only way it is. There's these other ways that seem to be possible, an infinite amount of other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, for me, it's just ways of shaking people up like your film, you know, and, you know, most people never, ever take the time to consider anything else besides what they've been told.
No. Absolutely, but they're listening to your show, so they've got to be, you know, more aware. They're listening to your show.
The people listening are already aware. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get the show to people who aren't listening, who aren't. and your work too. I mean, people who come to you, and I know you do workshops all over the country. Those are people that are already awake, aren't they? I mean, for the most part.
You know, yes, and what I love is, what I find, you know, really I'm very excited about, is I do have a lot of videos on YouTube, and I will get people who have been following this stuff for years, and finally one day they decide to email me, and they will say, you know, you opened my mind up to a whole different way of thinking. And it may have taken them 3 years. Some people say, I didn't understand what you were saying at first, but now I get it, like 3 or 4 years later. I mean, so I think, you know, that's the beauty of, yes, the Internet and technology. The beauty is that it is definitely the World Wide Web, and it definitely is opening up. Oh, Alan, I also want to let your audience know, too, that as of like November 15th, I am starting something very new, and it was because a lot of people, including this gentleman on Facebook, that really sort of encouraged me to do this, and I'm doing 5 minutes. It's called the Daily 5 Minute Reboot Videos. So just to subscribers, every day they will receive a 5 minute video, and it's all, you know, cutting edge content, but it's to reboot your day and to change your story, the story that you know, normally create, to change your story every day in every given moment. You change your mind on the life that you're living, just change your story, and that's what those are.
But like what? Can you give me a look of quick little example of something like that?
Oh, geez. Because I have tons of stuff on YouTube. Those are much longer. But it is very, what should I say? It's very edgy stuff. And it would be easier they go on YouTube and see, because I'll try to tell you exactly something right now, and I'm not going to be able to tell you precisely. But if they go to YouTube, they will see what I'm talking about.
But tell me, where's the edge? What edge do you go to? Like, what is the edge that, I mean, you don't have to tell me specific, but like, which area do you delve into?
I just delve into everything. Life, basic things like, I'm not saying this is it, but one of the things I talk about on YouTube is, you know, purpose. You know, there's always this race to people to find their purpose. And so I kind of help people to get over that and to realize every moment of your existence is really your purpose. The question is, what new experiences are you wanting to have? Because to think that you are constantly looking for your purpose is to disqualify all of the life you've lived, and every single moment of joy and pain has been part of one's evolution. Mm. So it's some of those things that really get people thinking and go, wait a second, you know. And I've had people say that to me. They said they just dropped it with the purpose. And when they dropped it was when they started to find a direction. Because they already had this concept in their head about what purpose is. No, every breath I take, everything I've done, everything I'm doing now, and everything I will do, I am living my purpose, which is to be and to experience.
Mm. But do you also get into reprogramming your DNA and things like that as well?
I do, but I don't just do it from a lot of the woo-woo standpoint. I get practical as well. I combine practicality with science because there's so much of that other stuff out there. Reprogramming your DNA, okay, that's fine. I get that. But let's look at where you are right now, the thought process, the belief system. Let's get you to understand that. Let's get you to face and own where you are right now. Otherwise, what we're going to have is feel good, things that sound good. But you don't. They don't work for you because you haven't really looked truthfully at where you are and what you believe and your own happiness in this moment, your own joy, and the relationship you're in or whatever your situations are, the job you hate. Those things we must look at because those are the things that anchor us, and we don't need any more bedtime stories. We need to go ahead and see how we feel, then we don't regret. We go ahead and accept them, and then we look at, okay, how can we change that? Now, how does that then impact change in our DNA, even from our heart level as well? How does all of that work together? Things like that. But I like to address it from the practical standpoint. Then I give you the science. Then we talk about your brain, and we talk about all of those things, not just be positive or any of that, because that doesn't work a lot of times. And that's why you get people who get sick. Oh, it's like, oh, my God, well, how this person who's saying all this and doing all of that, what happened? How did they? Because we are simple but complex beings, and we have layers and layers of BS and programs, layers of it. And we can't try to dig through all of it, but what we can do is we can own who we are in every moment. We can see ourselves in every moment and be responsible for that. No blame, no regret, but this is just where we are. Okay, I am ready to make something different happen. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. When you talk about the brain and all, is that stuff you've researched, or is that more like just comes to you in like your knowing?
Well, besides coming to me in my knowing, I also I like to support what I'm saying. So I will go and I will gather bits of information and say, this is where I found it. This is, on the brain, on this particular subject that I'm talking about. So I like to support when I'm talking about the sciencey stuff. I do like to get things to support, what I'm saying, what I'm already knowing, but I'm sharing, and I want that person to be able to go and look into that. If anything, I encourage you to go and look it up, because everything I do is about each person owning themselves and being in their own, being their own guru, being their own whatever, not dependent on me or anyone else, because I consider what I do, I share. I don't say I teach, I share. We remind each other. They remind me, I remind them. And so I see this dance, this exchange. That's the way I do it.
Mm. But it's like, but you do sort of feel, or feels like to me, you're inspired, you're connected, you're plugged into something that wants to share, that is like about sharing, right?
Yes. Absolutely. There's this feeling, it just sort of flows from me. I just it's the only way I can explain it. But yes, it just flows from me because that's really how I feel. That's really how I live. I live my life. I don't live it in this, I call it woo-woo space. I just live. I do everything else. I don't isolate myself.
Well,
I don't not watch TV.
You're a mother, right? You're a mother. You're whatever.
I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. Yeah, all of that.
Right.
I live regular life. I go and I enjoy myself. I go to jazz, do this, do that. I'm all about enjoying the experience, and I love the human experience. Despite all, I've had many challenges in my life. But I understand as I've gone along. I've understood them. I understand, and they got me to this point where I am. And so I've changed that. So now I don't have those particular experiences anymore. But I'm just all about the embrace. What I learned too is I you must fall in love with the game. For me, that's what I learned. And there is an incredible beauty in the human dance, in all of its madness and in all of its joy. Mm. What a wonderful world. Louis Armstrong.
That's right.
I love that song.
It is a beautiful song. What a wonderful world it would be. Yes, because it is that wonderful world. Because we're enlivening this piece of earth, where this biomaterial, we are in the magic of its beingness, and it's a celebration of magic.
It is awesome.
It is
absolutely awesome. Just to know that you are part of this, like you're here, you come here, and you've had the opportunity to participate. It's like going to Magic Mountain or Disneyland. And the more we understand about the illusion or the virtual nature of the experience and the paradox of it being real but not real, and the more we understand about that and how we crystallize our life through our stories and our beliefs and the relationships that we have with everything in our life, as I like to say, we are in a relationship with our chair and our furniture and everything. We are completely in a relationship with everything around us, and so they have to be here. We help to crystallize them. They have to have form. They have.
But what
to
do you say to people who are suffering? Because there are people who are suffering. That
absolutely.
But what do you say to them about? That's why I'm asking. I don't know what to say because I'm in awe of the magic, and yet some people are missing it because they are with their own, dramas.
Well, but there are people, it's a tough one, not for me to answer per se, but it's a tough one in the sense of where people are with how they want to see it and what they want to understand. And, we are all beings. And we obviously all each come here under different circumstances, under different times we've entered the planet. We don't know what the record is or the information is that being has come here with. We don't know what their itinerary is, why that is the life that they are having. Now, when you say, what do you say to that person? Well, it depends on, what the situation is. Obviously, I always say some people are born in war-torn areas. For whatever reason, that the journey, their birth, somehow required that is where they're born. You're not born there. I am not born there. I was born in Jamaica. My journey was to be here in the United States. So as a child, my parents brought me here. You see what I mean? There's just all these little factors involved. When you get somebody who is, their life is totally fine where they are, they decide to move to another state. Then you hear they had a car accident or some, catastrophe or something. Then you go, oh my God, maybe they shouldn't have moved. But I don't know. Did they move there to meet their fate? I mean, it's just all of these questions that people me look at.
I think you're talking about the soul level. What does the soul want to experience? And I, I think, though, now we're a lot of us, or some of us, are coming to a time where the soul is complete with the human drama, and we know there's more to experience. There's other levels of reality, and I think this is where the inner journeys start to be more interesting than the outer journeys, and then those are the new experiences and the new
realities. Yeah, but then there's going to be people who are always going to be having their suffrage, you see?
Yes.
And that is the challenge that especially a lot of in the new age movement, because we do want to see that there is peace on earth and everything is just going to be wonderful and, you know, milk and honey. But what if that is just not everybody's experience? But yet you may be evolving into a reality space where all that you interact with is going to support that love and joy that you're in. But mm-hmm. then there's other people where that is just not their reality. And if we didn't have tension or friction, you know, what would be the momentum for some people? That's why we live in this polarized reality.
Well, I think that's the old paradigm. I think the momentum is actually, for me, the creative potential. And that's
for you.
Mm-hmm. For me. Yeah, and mm-hmm. I think ultimately it could be for everyone, because it's like do we need to have the same old drama going on?
But is the drama, and that's, again, that's the...
And
that's
it's up to people, of course. They maybe want that, and that's okay.
And that's what I'm saying. So that's the challenge that we face, because it's got to be good or bad or black or white. And that's a tough one. That's why I try to leave that alone. But it's a tough one for people to even want to wrap their minds around. When I say how are we looking at it or perceiving it? Yeah, it's really tough. There is suffrage in the world, but these are all beings. They are independent beings as well. You're not in that predicament, but then you've got this other person. Is it you're better or, you know, are they worse? You know, there's this whole dance. Now, I can say some of what I say because of some of the situations I've experienced. Now, for some people who know some of what I've gone through, which I talked about at other times, I won't get into it here now, but they're people who just never come out of that situation. They want to live that story, continue to live that story.
But for you, would you say
over
it's
and over?
But was it an acceleration for you? That would you say?
For me, it was an awareness. It was okay. I need to understand now why my life, why I lived that for 14 years. Why I had experienced this, you know, horrific experience for this long. What was felt horrific to me, which is like a bearing down on a pressure. That's what we feel as horrific. Something that just totally depletes your, you know, energy and your whole being. Why did I live that? What is life? 1992. Finally, I'm grown now, and I go back to that space from when I was a child. Now I'm back there. I'm going there now, and I'm like, what is this life? What is this life? Why did I experience that? For me, that was a turning point because I opened myself up and I said, you know what? I am ready to understand this. I am ready to understand more.
You were
about
ready to face it.
I was ready to face it. Yes.
But that was a huge acceleration, awakening. I mean, I don't want to say it was a gift, but it got you on the path. I mean, you know, it wasn't pleasant, but it got it, here you are.
Exactly.
Awakening other people.
Right, but so, you know, so that's my point. Now if I had everything was hunky dory all the time and I had no idea, but I get it. I do. I know what it's like to go through situations and to be able to look at it now and go, "Wow, okay, I get it why that happened," or, you know, stepping stone. Okay, I use that to step up and to step up and to keep ascending into myself, into the greater part of me. That is the journey. so I look on and there are people going through some stuff. Now, you can be there, you can just be in it, and you can be a victim of life endlessly, you know, and if it is part of your journey, perhaps one will wake up to that awareness. Maybe they might hear you, a recording somewhere, or hear somebody else, and they go, you know what, I've got to find my way out. Ah, I listened to a radio show the other day, and this was really a horrific situation. I had no idea, and most people didn't even know this was happening. But this filmmaker, they did this documentary, and this documentary was about this woman that they met, I don't know, back in 2006 or 2004, whatever, that gave them the story that they could not believe. And this woman explained to them that up until in the 60s, her and her family, living some distance place in the South, were still enslaved. They were slaves. They could not believe it. Well, the woman took them there, and they showed it in the video, to where they lived in that barn, and everything she described was as it was. A reality that existed that nobody knew existed in the rest of the world. You're not thinking any of that is going on, and I'm sure it still is. It's a reality going on somewhere like that. But the point here is that, and she described some of what they went through, and I was just like, I couldn't even listen to it anymore. But when she got older, she escaped. She left. She managed to run. She left. And then I don't know how long later, she found a way to legally go back and get her family, who was in servitude. They belonged to the slave owners, and she was using the term massa here it is, in 2007 when they did that. So 2009, it was pretty crazy. But here's this one lady, one individual. She went through everything else everybody was going through, just like Harriet Tubman, just like so many other people. But you get that one person who said, no more. I am going to find a way, and I don't know the world or what's out there, but I know I've got to do this. What separates that person from the other 1,000 or so who were so scared they would never leave? And even the ones they tried to help, I think there was one lady, well, this wasn't going on then, but it was a very backwards town when they did finally, you know, they were there, and it was more modern, but it was still very backwards. And they asked the one woman, they said, you know, if we were to help you to find a place, would you go? And she said, well, will I still be able to live around here? Now, we're talking like really living in seriously back the woods, impoverished conditions. And she couldn't pull her mind out of that place. She would take the place, but it would still have to be within the environment that she was now conditioned to live in. So it's all of those factors, you know, you end up looking at. You think you're trying to save somebody because we think it's just you got to get them out of there. But sometimes that's not what they want.
No, it's not what they want, but also we have to do what we're compelled to do. So that's the lesson for our soul. But because if we see war or, you know, people suffering, I think there's a part of us that want to help.
We want to help.
Yeah, and that's okay to want to help. And it's okay for them not wanting the help, I guess. But it's still, I think if it's in our reality, we're there to at least try to do something about it.
Well, you can. I think so. I agree with you. I think that because you're feeling that, I think we should always respect what we're feeling. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And go, and if you feel that something is telling you to reach out to that person or to try to help, then I think that that's something that we should do. Now, if that person absolutely kicks and screams and says, leave me alone, that's something different. You know, they just, you cannot get them to go.
It's that person's choice, and they may be in an awful situation. I don't know, and that's what they want to be in, I suppose.
Well, they're conditioned. They're conditioned, and they're conditioned for it. And then, you know, then we can go into a whole other metaphysical aspect of it. But, yeah, you know, so there's just so many ways in terms of looking at this, and I think that's the challenge, is because sometimes we want to look at all of this. You know, we want some sort of black and white way of approaching creation, and it's the same thing that we do with wanting to pin down creation. We want, that's what religion does. We want something safe. We want something certain. So we try to pin creation down to certain beliefs, and then even scientists do that. Then they go, well, that's not possible. That's completely impossible. Because when it doesn't fit in our comfort zone, we don't want to accept it. So we like to lock things in a certain way. We want it to be absolutely black or white.
Right.
You know, and it's just letting go. It's just realizing it's okay. It's okay. And just learning to kind of more flow, you know, learning to flow so that we can really tune in to that expansive part of us for more to be directed, like you, like we just talked about. If you to assist somebody, maybe that person's desire, the frequency of the desire meets you, and then that's, you want to help them, and that person generally does want you to help. But when we are so rigid and so stuck and try to create finalities and what creation could be, then we do, we lock ourselves in a box.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the letting go and understanding the ebb and flow of it all, and how creation just is allowing. To me, that's the incredible part. We are less allowing, but creation, whatever we want to call creation, everything is allowed. So something incredible, this incredible essence that we call life and the creator and the creation, is allowing us to dance in any and every way possible. Whatever it is we want to do, good, bad, or indifferent, we are so allowed. And to me, that is love. If I were to ever define love, love is, to me, is that incredible allowing, and you still feel embraced, and you can still feel loved when we are open enough to be able to take that moment to go, wow, I do. There's an incredible feeling that really is coming over me, regardless of the fact that I may be standing in a food line getting food, or I'm sitting over here, or, you know, I don't have a roof over my head. But man, there's just this feeling, and I know I'm going to be okay. I know I'm going to be all right, because we start tuning in. We start tuning in, and then there we start getting that intuitive, guidance and navigation.
Hmm. Are you still, we should wrap up. I was looking at some of your videos, but are you still talking about unveiling the Matrix and talking about that level of, you know, coming into?
Oh, there's lots of new stuff. Yeah, I talk about it, but I talk about it on different levels.
But what do you mean by the Matrix in a way?
Well, again, anybody, they can all, I'll tell you in a second. I'm just saying all of that. There's a lot on YouTube where I go in and explain that. I refer to the Matrix as a system, because that's what it is. A Matrix is a system, and, you know, it's like the Russian dolls. You've got one system in a system in a system. And so when people refer to the Matrix, a lot of times, yes, they reference the movie. But a Matrix is a system. And so the system, we live under several levels of that. And so within that system, the system has always got its own structure, its own unique design, its own blueprint, its own way of operating, its own rules, its own conditions, for any kind of life that is going to be operating within it. And so that describes to some degree, yes, no matter which level of the system or matrix we're talking about, we are operating within a particular blueprint. The universe is a matrix. The Earth is a matrix. The universe has its own blueprint or rules and guidelines for any life force that's going to be within it, regardless of how unique each planet might be that might be within it or each solar system. There's still some general conditions that allow everything to be within that particular reality. And so it is with that other level of the matrix. There's a governmental matrix that we deal with.
It's like your movie, The Business of Disease. That's its own matrix system, is the medical system. You know?
Right. That's exactly. That's a whole other system itself. So when we think matrix, we always have to think, well, a matrix is a system and it has its own rules and guidelines and regulations for everything that comes in its path. As soon as you get caught in it, there's a way of operating. Each corporation has its own it's its own matrix, as we call it, the corporate culture. A particular company, a corporation, has got its own unspoken culture or vibe or energy of operating. Each country, each city, each state, and you see it and you feel it when you walk drive into a state or a city. Between Northern California and Southern California, you drive into either one and you feel a different vibe. Going to La Jolla, right, or San Diego, wherever, you feel it. It's everything. It's just all these little systems, these little matrix operating.
Right, but when we see it for what it is, we start to see the holes in the matrix and the structures aren't as solid as we thought they were.
They're very pliable, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, they're very adjustable, and what we're challenged with is the fact that we are generally wired for example, the environment that we are in. You know, we're born in the matrix of that social system. We become wired for that. Everybody begins to operate, you know, automatically within that town, let's say.
Right.
Based on these unspoken rules, people think that way. People go, oh, New Yorkers are this way. Oh, people in California. That in itself lets you know how these are all just little systems. And we all adapt to the system. And even if you weren't from there and you moved there, suddenly over time, you also adapt. You end up, your brain ends up networking into the design and the blueprint of that structure, of that reality, of that matrix.
Right. No, I know we could go on and on because I like the way you think, and you're somebody who's really taken the time and you've looked at yourself and you've looked really clearly and truthfully at the world. You've seen, you know, just from your pure human compassion, what works, what obviously doesn't work, and what's the bigger picture. So I totally enjoy that perspective and what you're doing to share that with other people. So, I mean, thank you. Thank you for...
Well, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on the show. And just to let people know, to find out more, yes, they can go to YouTube. You can just plug my name and on Google. come up.
What's your website, though? What is the website?
It's spiritinform.com. So it's spiritinform.com. And tons and tons of really interesting articles on there and information about this daily 5-minute reboot that I'm going to be doing. And all the workshops and lectures that I've done are in the store on my website as well. As you will see from the titles and so on of those, and you know, some of the excerpts are on YouTube, which gives you a really good opportunity to see, you know, what I'm talking about.
How can people see the film?
Well, that's just it. They can check on the website. We're setting up screenings, nationwide screenings, all over the place. So they can check there, and I'm hoping very soon, in the next, we were hoping by the end, by December, but if it's not, it's by January, to have it where people can now be able to either see it online, it's still dealing with distribution online, or purchase it as well. So just a short while longer, but there are screenings being set up all over. So you can check online. It's right on the homepage, you know, where the next screening will be.
Well, it's very important. I think that you know, that it's seen this film and it's out there. The Business of Disease.
And so that's the website as well. TheBusinessOfDisease.com is the website, by the way.
I think once people realize that, you know, this whole thing about health insurance and that whole medical system, it seems like such a scam. In some ways, that, you know, are they really out looking out for our best interests or their best interests? You know, it's
well, their best interests. And since people are programmed to believe that they cannot get by without insurance,
well, isn't it illegal to not have insurance now?
Well, you're supposed to be fined or something like that if you don't have insurance. I'm not really worried about it. I don't see how you can force me to get insurance when I have not used insurance or lived by insurance.
Insurance is living healthy. That's the insurance you want to invest in. But
absolutely.
So you're just living your life, you're saying.
You're just living your life, and that's what I'm doing. I'm not interested in, you know, life insurance, health insurance. I'm not interested in insuring being sick. And most of the time, you know, Alan, I know we have to go, but most of the time people get insurance because, you know,
fear. That's their
Well, there's fear. But when they have insurance, sometimes they find they need to use it. And that's what I see. They need to use it. So then you get sick because you have to use it. You're paying for it. So now you've got to find a reason to use it. You got to get sick to use it.
It's just insane.
And then you get happy. They're like, oh, my God, I'm so glad I had insurance. And I'm not saying that there aren't situations where people do need to go into the world of Western medicine. So I'm not saying that at all.
Right, of course. Medicine is important. It's valuable. It saves lives. Totally.
Yeah.
You know, it's a vital part of our health.
Surrender all of who you are and your whole being to medicine, to Western medicine, to somebody else. Don't surrender yourself. Don't rent yourself out. That's what I like to say. Don't leave your body out.
Right. You know, it's like that joke. You ever hear that joke about the guy goes to the doctor? Doctor says to his patient, well, you only have like 2 days to live. And the guy says, well, I won't be able to pay you. The doctor says, oh, I'll give you another 2 days. You know,
kind of how it is.
It's just stupid. I mean, but that's, but like you say, and I'm sure you say in your film, people do take on whatever their doctor tells them they got, you know.
They do. It's gospel. And
Chinese
that's
what the Chinese medicine is not about. They don't diagnose it. They talk about different, you know, energetics. Because everything's different. Nobody has two of the same thing ever, you know?
That's true. It's really interesting. But we're very hung up in the Western world here on the name of the disease, and of course, you know,
it's ridiculous.
Running for a cure, and just, you know, it's just the whole business. It's just the whole market involved, and it's so trendy. You know, it becomes very trendy with everybody. Yes, I'm going to say it because I do kind of mention it in the film. You know, everybody running around in pink. And I think, you know, are you are you then really supporting the possibility? I mean, what are you saying?
It's weird. No, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think, you know, that you're the best woman's advocate there is, because you're talking about health, you know. You're talking about overcoming the system that wants you to wear pink, to fit into the system. It's about fitting into the system, you know?
Yeah, it is. It promotes the very thing that you are trying to avoid. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. I totally
coding
agree.
Our minds.
Yeah. And those stupid commercials on television that talk about, they're implanting thought forms. They're implanting, you know, fear.
Yeah.
And, I think we need a whole revamping of the matrix. We need to dismantle the matrix.
And it's a beautiful time, as we were saying earlier. I mean, you asked about change, but it is an incredible time for people to really just really dive into wanting to understand who they are and what their potentials are. And yes, the system may be trying to throw, thought forms and, fear out there, but who am I? Who am I? Where is my power? What can I do for me? Because we just cannot rely on what we call the system to try to do something different other than what it does. And if we look at it, we can look at it another way too. Again, the system is helping us in one way to wake up.
Yes,
to wake
I agree.
Up.
I agree.
You know?
Sonia,
so that's it.
Thank you, Sonia. Thank you for your time and for
thank
everything
you.
You're doing and for waking people up, you know, the way that you're doing it.
Well, thank you for having your wonderful show and for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No, we'll be in touch, okay?
All right. Sounds great.
Let's talk at some point soon.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks for being at Sonia Barrett. And your website again is?
It's spiritinform, FORM.com. Spiritinform.com.
Right, and you are that spirit and form, like all
so
of us.
Who are you? Thanks, Alan.
Okay, talk to you soon. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, you can go to my website, newrealities.com. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening. Good night.